Back live on many ways to be found. Twitch, YouTube, 96.5 FM. Was it 6:10 a.m.? That's still one of those things, yeah, but don't go to that one. It's not as clear. And
people are loving the new signal being on the FM. I hear about it just about every day. You guys sound great. Talk to my guy Mike at the J every day. Love the show. It sounds good. I'm like, good, man. Appreciate it. Talk to one of the guys down the hallway. Ponch. He's like, I love listening to you guys on the FM.
I can actually listen to Cody and Gold. That's a joke. I just see Cody, so I thought I'd say that.
That's funny.
No, it is really good. Especially listening to like Royals games.
Yeah. Chiefs games. All of that.
K-State,
all the games.
Colorado games.
Yeah. Where do you think this guy Hassan Reddick is going to wind up?
Detroit.
Yeah, that's kind of what everybody's thinking, right?
Just too easy, right?
The Jets have granted him and his new agent, Drew Rosenhaus, permission to explore a trade. Thanks, Jets. Like, you talk about it, just a colossal fail, right? As of right now. Now, maybe they get two first-round draft picks that they'll screw up back in return. I don't know, but Detroit seems like the logical landing spot for him right now.
Is Amari Cooper a Chief by the end of October?
God, I'd love so.
It always seems when you think you know diddly poo.
You don't know anything, yeah. It's like, remember, they have $4 million, roughly, according to Spot Rack, to get him through the rest of the year.
Which I don't know what Amari Cooper would cost for a year.
But 1 point something.
Yeah, but then, you know, less money, like somebody gets hurt. But as the weeks go on, it's less and less money. So, again, we have 3 weeks from today, I believe, is the trade deadline, right? Yeah,
that is it.
So as more teams start to fall out of the race and admit they suck, then you'll have more of a pool of guys that are available. I had somebody float me yesterday, Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm like, no, I'm out of that. And nobody in the league or anything like that. Just, you know, conversation I was having with some friends and whatnot. Like, what about Odell? I'm like, why do we fall into the malaise of Odell Beckham Jr. all the time? Like, that's guy's got a name. Let me go get him. And Odell Beckham Jr. to me, I don't know if that really does much for you, you know, at this point in time. Obviously, you're probably going to look at the wide receiver market. There's no question about it. But, you know, again, you have about $4 million to get you through the rest of the year. How much do they want to spend on that? Or how much can they say, sorry, Andy and Patrick, you guys are so good at what you do. Go make everybody else better. We don't have the funds. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
I think DeAndre Hopkins is a really interesting name. Titans lost again. It was a huge loss to the Colts, 17-20. They had that game. That team is done, cooked. Hopkins is cheap.
They were done and cooked before the year started.
But of course. But
the side of mayonnaise.
They have to know this, right? The teams, and I think they finally know this.
But do they?
I think so.
Are they accepting that? Because once you wave the white flag, there's no going back. Mm-hmm. You're telling your fan base. You're telling your organization. As a head coach, you're now officially putting kind of yourself on watch, even though he's in his first year. It doesn't matter in the NFL. They're going to be in the market for a quarterback this offseason.
Yes.
The Giants are going to be in the market for a quarterback this offseason. Start to look at those teams that you believe are going to be in the market for a quarterback this offseason. Scour their damn roster.
Exactly.
I think the Giants have a lot of wide receivers
they
could potentially part with. I think the Giants are a good football team with the exception of their quarterback, and it makes them an unwatchable bad football team. And I think the same thing kind of goes with the Tennessee Titans. I don't think they're a horrible football team,
either.
But their quarterback makes them an unwatchable, horrible football team.
It's crazy.
And it's interesting because would you be upset? Okay. Doesn't matter if they don't make a move whatsoever.
Oh, me? You're asking the wrong guy because I don't care. I'm good where the team is right now. But if they wanted to go out and get Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins, great. That makes you better as a team on paper, right? You get more, you know, more veteran presence, more weapons, more guys that you can rely on. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I'm not sitting here pining for it because it's hard to make a trade. And number two, like a lot of these teams that we're talking about are AFC teams as well. Cleveland, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make somebody in your conference better? And especially the Chiefs. Like I know like Brett Veach shows up to the party and he's like the, you know, the number one quarterback showing up to the party and all the girls flock towards him and all this kind of stuff. Veach rolls in and people are like, oh, Brett's here again. Son of a gun. None of
Damn
us
it.
Stand a chance.
I don't necessarily know if they're in dire needs to get anybody.
I don't either. Yeah.
Because of what the team is. And you had mentioned this yesterday, and that's why it you know, we have this topic in here that this may be the best defensive team in football, maybe the best defensive team the Chiefs have ever had. And maybe ever had a stretch.
I don't, but, you know, again, comparing him to those 60s teams, it's hard to do. I don't know. You know, they were all Hall of Famers. You can compare him to the 90s with DT. I feel like this team may have more playmakers than that defense did with DT and Neil Smith and Mark Collins and those guys. Like, this defense has got stars at every level.
And Spags.
This defense reminds me a lot of, to give it a cross parking lot comparison, of the 7th, 8th, 9th for the Royals during 14, 15. Buckle up. The reason why I say that is because they're currently 4th against the run. Right? When the Royals bullpen came in, they had what? Like a 3-2 lead or a 1-0 lead or a 2-1 lead. And no matter what you thought, who you were playing, it didn't matter. You told everyone, get us the lead to the 7th, and the game is over.
Game is over. And the other teams believe that, too, because they all said, we got to do it in the first 6 or we're effed.
I mean, I remember literally doing an interview with Cotrero this year from the dugout before a game. He was answering media questions, and he was talking about it was before the 14 team came for their 10-year anniversary. And he's like, look, we hated it. We were in the other dugout when he was with Cleveland. He's like, we look over there, and we knew it was over if we were down by a run or two in the 7th inning. Definitely if it was 3. And
puts a lot of pressure on the other team to score in 6 innings, too.
No doubt. And the Chiefs are the 4th best team against the run, allowing 88 yards a game. They're 4th or 5th, however you want to look at it, from a yardage perspective. They're 88. They give up 88.4 yards per game. They're 6th in points allowed. And they're 7th in total yards.
The points allowed is the main thing. And being top 10 in points allowed, like, people talk about, you know, if you have a good offense, you can't have a good defense. Chiefs have both right now, man.
They've only given up over 20 points once this year. That was week 2 to Cincinnati. They scored 25.
Yeah.
Week 1, 20 points to Baltimore. And then 17 points to Atlanta, 10 points to the Chargers, 13 points to New Orleans.
All teams that are good football teams,
that supposedly have good offensive teams.
Right.
Not only that, the common denominator that all those teams have are running backs. Derrick Henry ran for a season low 43 yards or 44 yards against the Chiefs in that first game. Cincinnati, Chase Brown, not really what their main focus was, but Atlanta, Bijan Robinson didn't even show.
37 yards, I think he had that
right.
day.
Chargers, J.K. Dobbins, nothing.
Nowhere to be found.
New Orleans and Alvin Kamara,
zero.
Nothing. And now they're going to play a team that has their 3rd running back starting, who I don't know who that is unless Mason's going to play, but he had the AC joint in his shoulder, which is an interesting topic. But not only that, like, all that's important.
You don't need your shoulder to be a running back.
All that's important with where they're at with defense. And that's why I think you look at Chris Jones being, you know, the MVP of the trimester because of what he's done up front and being able to just stop the run. You just will not run the ball against the Chiefs. So you parlay that sort of defense where they just do not allow rushing yards. Not only that, you put together what I said was the MVP, which is Trent McDuffie, because he's getting coverage sacks as well as just not allowing any wide receiver one. You go down the same list and you think about wide receivers on those teams, right? Like Chris Olave, great, right? You look at Atlanta, Drake London, good. Cincinnati, Jamar Chase, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, Zay Flowers. If you think Zay Flowers isn't good, look what he did this last week in the first
Zay
half.
Zay Flowers, they're talking about being one of the triplets now out there and saying that's why they have the best offense in Baltimore. Zay Flowers can flat out freaking
play. It's only his second year, and he's only going to get better. But the key stat to me in this defense is that they're only allowing 5.6 points in the second half of games.
That's right there, your analogy to those guys in the 7th, 8th, and 9th.
If you don't have the lead going into the third quarter, the game is over.
Essentially, if you don't score on that first drive where the Chiefs are always figuring things out from a defensive standpoint,
that's where they're only giving up points.
That's the only thing, is that first drive of the game. And that's fine. They're going to figure some things out. Okay, this is what you want to do. Fine, we'll fix it, and you'll be off to not scoring again. So, yeah, if you don't score a touchdown on that first drive now against Kansas City, the odds of you getting points in that game are very low. Very low, because they just find a way to D up and shut down the opponent. And I love that second half stat there. 5.6 points
allowed
in the second half on average.
Yeah.
You're just not winning games that way.
Last week against 2 weeks ago against New Orleans, they had 6 points in the second half.
The opponents are just not winning.
Right. The game was 16-7 at half. That game's over. According to the stats.
Yeah.
5.6. 16-7, that game's over. The next week they played the
Chargers.
Because
even if they get 6 points or 7 points, you're still behind.
Correct.
You know? Yeah.
You look at the next week, they play the Chargers. Shut them out. They got 10 points in the first quarter. 10 points. They were up 10-7 at halftime.
And maybe the only reason they got points was because of turnovers, too.
And they were up 10-7 at halftime, and Carson Steele's fumble led to a touchdown, right? Chiefs scored 10 in the second half. The Chargers didn't score again the rest of the game after having 10 in the first quarter.
In the first quarter.
Right. Yeah. And part of it was out of their control because of an early fumble.
Right.
The Atlanta Falcons.
And an interception.
You go to the Atlanta Falcons game. Atlanta scored 3 points in the second half. It was 14-13 at half Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't score again. They weren't up by more than five. They didn't score. They got shut out in the second half. And then the Cincinnati game, 26-25, most points they've allowed all season long. 9 points in the second half.
Yeah.
So I mean, again, if you're not in the lead by a touchdown or more going into halftime, it's probably over.
You're done.
Because it's just been locked down. And again, they're fourth against the run or fifth against the run, giving up 88 yards a game. Meaning that teams aren't able to control the time of possession because they can't run. So they're basing on the pass. Well, we've defined what we said. When they pass, there's pressure, there's coverage, and it just doesn't work. This is, to me, what we are witnessing as of right now through 6 weeks of an NFL season. This is the best team on defense this franchise has ever had.
It's trending that
and
way.
Maybe I'm caught up in the moment, and I apologize if I am, because I know those 90s defenses were good. My dad tells me about them all the time. I know that defense back in the 69-70 year when they had all those Hall of Fame linebackers and defensive players. I know that defense was great too. Lanier, Bell, Buchanan, I get it.
I mean,
trust me.
It's a who's who of dudes.
That's a great defense. And yeah. I know I wasn't around, and that's unfair to maybe some of you that were. But by God, in a league where offense has absolutely started to strive, and they're giving up an only total of 5 points, not even a touchdown in the second half on average through five games played, and they played teams like Baltimore, Cincinnati, Atlanta, the Chargers, and New Orleans.
All legit good teams going into the year.
I mean, that's a stat that sticks out on the page, because that lets me know that you get 15 plays, you get one half, and even if you are up by 14, then you get to flip the script, and what is Mahomes when he's down by 10? Ungodly.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
You have a double-edged sword of this team that's just done it right with how they've drafted and who they put in certain positions, to where it's like, well, Travis is down. Yeah, well, it's Chris Jones's time.
But see, this is a team, right? Like, and I know as we were talking a little bit yesterday, and you start to hear what people are saying nationally, everybody still judges teams based on their offensive weapons. And that's futile, because there's 53 men on the roster. You can win in this league having a good defense. You can win in this league having a good running game. You can win in this league having a good head coach. You don't have to light up the scoreboard and throw for 500 yards and 50 points every single time you go out there. No. There are other ways to skin a cat, as they like to say. And the Chiefs have found multiple ways to win these games. And to back up your point about you saying this is the best Chiefs defense of all time, I will say this. When you start to look at the eras in which you play, it's harder to win an NFL game today than it's ever been before. The athletes are better. It's a full-time job now. Back in the 60s, guys were working at the lumber company and TV stations and whatnot to make ends meet. It wasn't a full-time job. You're playing in a league now that is a geared to be an offensive league. All the penalties are in place to benefit the offense. And guys are bigger, faster, stronger. It's harder to win today than it was yesterday in the NFL, just because advancements and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think you're wrong by saying it's the best Chiefs defense because of the era in which we play. I do believe it is harder to win in all sports. Mm-hmm. It is harder to win today than it was yesterday. And it will be harder to win tomorrow than it is today, just because of the advancements and everybody improving and getting better and finding new ways to do things. So yeah, I think what we're looking at right now is a team that you could say, if you just want to look at the stats, it may not tell the whole story either. They're winning and they're playing great defense in an era where the league has made it almost impossible for you to go out there and be a good defensive team.
Yeah, go look at the numbers of the running backs they've gone against, right? This has been the year of the running back, I would say. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is lighting everybody up when they play him. Bijan Robinson, not so much, but he's like a dual threat. Alvin Kamara put 4 touchdowns up against Dallas, blew him out. Mm-hmm. Dallas couldn't stop the run. Derrick Henry.
And stopping the run is a want to as well. That's a real, right. Like, put your hand in the dirt, you know, blood coming off your nose. Like, you got to want to stop the run. That's not finesse. That's being a tough son of a gun in the trenches, stopping the run, making plays, sacrificing your body, not playing with any fear. It's hard to stop the run. And now, as the weather turns and it gets colder, teams are going to want to run the football more. And if the Chiefs continue to play this style of run defense, they may not give up points again for the rest of the season.
And that, to me, is why I think this is the equivalent of the Royals bullpen. Because some people would say that the Royals bullpen has been the best bullpen since the Reds bullpen that had those
the nasty boys.
That's what they always get compared to.
Yeah.
And you think of the generational gap between all of those, and you allow 5.6 points in the second half. You're only giving up the seventh most total yards in the league, sixth most points. You put all that together. I know the DVOA nerds will be like, Chiefs have the number one defense in the league. And I think what's pulverizing by this, which is confusing a lot, which gets us to our next one, why I think the Chiefs are confusing is because what we just said earlier. They went from being the Golden State Warriors to being the boring San Antonio Spurs. But the one thing stays the same.
They consistently win,
and they win the championships.
That's all that matters.
Are there teams out there that honestly confuse you in the NFL that not in the same way the Chiefs confuse you?
I don't know. I look around this league, and everybody's pretty much what they are. What confuses me in Philadelphia is it the coach or the quarterback? I tend to think it's the coach.
I believe that.
You know, in Philadelphia, I think it's the coach, not the quarterback right now in Philadelphia. But I'm really not confused by anybody. I mean, like, so you could say Cincinnati, but Joe Burrow's dealing with a wrist injury, man. Like, if your quarterback's dealing with a wrist injury and can't throw the football, well, then you're 2-4 for a reason.
And their defense blows.
And their defense, and yeah, blows. I mean, they're not good. So to look around this league and go, oh my God, I'm shocked by this team. Maybe I'm shocked how bad Jacksonville is. But not really. I mean, like, I thought they'd be better going into the season, but once ATM fumbled that football out of the end zone, the season was over. You can't be shocked by the Dolphins. They lost their quarterback.
Pittsburgh confuses me.
I'm a Mike Tomlin truther, so I'm like,
are they good or are they beating bad teams and they're playing all the teams that are bad? Or I just don't know, because, like, Justin Fields looks different. But he looks the same.
But
that makes
sense. Powered by their defense in such a big way.
Sure.
Like, I mean, they have the Mahomes of defense and TJ Watt, you know? Yeah.
Arizona's confusing.
Cardinals are very confusing.
Because, like, it's like why you don't believe in Kyler. It's like 1 or 2 weeks in a row, it's like, okay, this is the quarterback. And then all of a sudden, it's like, that's the Kyler we see a lot of, too.
But that's also why he's a coach killer, because you get caught in these, oh my God, look how good he is. But the big picture is, if you're inconsistent at the quarterback position, I got to bounce from you, man. I need somebody that's going to be consistent.
Mac, anybody confusing to you outside of the
Broncos?
Broncos.
Denver Broncos are very confusing. 3 weeks in a row, their defense looks like not good, great, top 10, great, 3 weeks in a row, which is something that's a sizable, you know, amount of time
in the
NFL.
And they did it against Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Like, doing it against real guys, and then last week they just can't even stop the Chargers, who are like on offense.
Did Surtain get hurt this past week?
Did he get hurt in the game?
I thought I saw him.
That's
go
a huge
to the
injury. I mean, obviously that's massive. That's their Mahomes of their defense. So
that's their McDuffie.
I don't understand them. And then Bo Nix has looked good for a couple weeks, and these last 2 weeks has looked horrendous. That's a rookie quarterback, but just still, I don't understand that team. Titans confusing as well.
Why?
Because if you look at every defensive number besides one nerd in Nashville trying to make L'Jarius Sneed seem bad, which is just a fallacy that is false. He's been fantastic this season. Every defensive number, they are top 10, if not top 5, if not first in yards, points, all this stuff. Like, it's,
and they're really good on defense, but their quarterback is as bad as they. I mean, he's not Daniel Jones, but he's bad.
But he's just dumb. Like, I'm not saying
he makes dumb plays.
Oh,
no,
he makes
terrible plays.
There's a video circulating Titans Twitter right now of the offseason. I think Peyton and Eli were doing some quarterback conference, and they're talking to quarterback, young guys. And Will Levis's question is, all these guys are asking questions like, hey, under center, what do I do to process this? Hey, in this scheme, Will Levis, hey, so what's your guys' advice on, like, doing commercials and really selling yourself and branding yourself?
That's all I need to know about that guy.
There we go.
And he likes mayo a little too much.
That guy needs to go. You can't have your organizational quarterback worried about doing commercials.
You got Peyton and Eli in front of you. Like, ask them anything. Hey, what commercials do you think I should be doing?
Yeah, nobody knows who you are, Levi's. You know, go back and put some mayonnaise in your coffee and play on the field, and then we can worry about commercials. Like seriously, that's a problem.
Is he one of those athletes you're done watching? Like, you don't ooh, watch that anymore?
Yeah, I think I'm done. Yeah.
I'm done with Daniel Jones. I can't watch that guy play anymore. I mean, it really is. It's a travesty watching him play quarterback. So I mean, it is a travesty.
Would you rather watch Daniel Jones play or rake the leaves?
Rake the leaves. At least I get some exercise in.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Me, yeah. It's Deshaun Watson and Phil Mickelson.
There's not enough booze in the world that can make me watch Daniel Jones play a full game. I mean, it's just awful.
We'll have a full report of the next Giants game here on Fesco and Dusty on a Monday morning. You are listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Phil Mickelson, huh?
Yeah, it's cringy. He's greasy. He's snake-like. He tries too hard. He's like, I drink a special coffee and I hit bombs. I'm like, Phil, come on. Nobody watches the CW, which is what lives on. So.
What is he, that guy from the Little League World Series? Who was that kid a few years ago?
Oh, yeah. Hi,
my name's Big Joe and I hit dingers.
Big Al. Oh,
Big Al.
Big Al.
Yeah.
Because at least Big Al's funny.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson looks like he owes somebody 10 grand, but he's figuring out ways to get back to somebody
else.
He's
kind of like Russell Wilson cringeworthy.
I don't know.
That's another good one. I haven't had to watch him this year, but I'm done.
Phil Mickelson just looks like he smells like Old Spice aftershave and like definitely gets up and irons everything in his whitey tidies.
You know, there's no question that Russell Wilson right now probably falls into that category for Mike Tomlin. I'm done watching you play. Oh, you go stand over there with your eye black.
He's like that old Aflac commercial where he's got the old man. He's like, you want the dollar?
Right.
Come get it. He's like trying to think that he's going to start at quarterback. You want to come get it? Come get it.
I love that commercial.